Checking 1 2 1 2. This is how I talk. Hello, hello.
Hello. You're
looking for. Yep.
Yep. Batman.
The
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. That would have been a better movie. Yeah, because he actually did.
Yeah, for Norm,
because I think it's because I asked you a lot of questions. Because we talked about Indiana Jones quite a bit.
That was on, yeah. Episode 8.
Were there a lot of moments where people be like, he's such an idiot?
No.
Where I just kind of...
No, you actually, especially the Indiana Jones one, you knew your stuff. It was me that was coming across like an idiot, because I was like, I just can't remember. I've actually, that conversation and that pod has reminded me, I need to rewatch those movies, because it's been a minute.
I agree. I need to, too. mine doesn't make a fancy sound unless you open it. Fast.
Oh, that sounds good, though. That'll sound good on the mic. You have a problem.
Oh, yeah. This will hurt.
So since that's going to be our intro, that we need to at least point out that we've hit double digits.
I know.
This is our 10th episode. That's a pretty big deal. I think that means we're done. Like, we did it. We accomplished it.
This was all a group project for our school.
We are 17.
We had to do some episodes.
Except McMurray, he's in college. He's a little bit older now.
He's
nice.
A graduate student. Yeah. College. He's 27. We're 17. There's a large gap.
Very large. He has a cane. We're painting a picture for those who don't know us. Me and DJ are super young. McMurray, almost dead.
One foot in the grave.
Oh, we love him, though. He's like that wise old guy. Always has... No, he doesn't.
I was wondering where you were going with that. You were wrong.
So anyway, Batman v Superman. Do we want to do some quick reviews and then we'll get into... This is actually, I just want to point this out too. You know, when we did the Deadpool review, we talked about it, you know, on the way to Mad Dog's house. So I kind of had an idea of what we were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I had an idea of what we were going to say about the Cloverfield one right. too. We did not see this movie together.
Right.
Or I didn't see this movie with you guys. Now, you two probably know what you're each other's going to say.
We've talked about it.
I would imagine you two talked.
There's no way that I couldn't talk about
sure.
the movie afterwards.
And which, in a way, I'm kind of glad, because I don't know what any of us are going to say. And I might even surprise you guys with what I say, but I don't know. So we'll do like a quick review. What did you think, DJ?
What did I think? If you come at this movie as just a movie, I think it was good.
The frick? How else could you come at it?
But if you come at it as a comic book fan,
okay, I see where you're going with it.
You're going to hate it.
McMurray, what'd you think? You have actual notes, by the way, don't you?
Not on this one.
Is that another podcast you do?
That's another people. That's part of his Twitter DM group.
Yeah. Instead of noted, it's notes.
I'm not a big DC Comics person, so I didn't really care going into it.
Okay.
I kind of agree with DJ. Was it a good comic movie? Not necessarily. I enjoyed it, though. It should have been like a summer movie. Because sometimes when I go into these big summer blockbusters, I don't go into them thinking... Oh, this is going to be golden. I just want to see some explosions.
Do you think it's kind of like, for you, is it like Jurassic World all over again? Because Jurassic World was a perfect summer movie.
Yeah.
Perfect popcorn.
When I think of a summer movie, I think
old Arnold movies.
Like a movie Expendables. Like you turn your brain off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think of in a summer movie. This, you couldn't really turn your brain off because they were throwing all these different old Easter eggs
and yeah.
things like that into it. But
unfortunately.
But it... I did not think it was an awful movie.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot better, but I was not as disappointed as seemingly everybody else.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too, like the fan reaction to this film, because I think that in and of itself is an interesting discussion mm-hmm. on its own. But my quick review, I said this to McMurray after we did the Deadpool podcast. Because we did Deadpool like immediately after the movie, and I kind of was talking to him like 4 or 5 days later, and I said, now that I've had a few days to like think about it and have it set with me, I think my review would be like totally different. And I kind of want us to start spacing it apart, and I'm glad that we do that now. And I think if I was to have reviewed this movie immediately after I saw it, I would have destroyed it.
Yeah.
Destroyed it.
Judging by your text messages, yes.
Yes, I would. It was Man of Steel all over again. I was brokenhearted. I was so brokenhearted over it. But to be honest with you, now I can't believe I'm saying this, but now that I've had a few days to set with it and think about it, I think the movie is okay. Like, I give it a... Like, with Cloverfield, I gave it a strong 9 out of 10. This one, I give a weak 5.
I was going to say 6.
A weak 5 for me.
I was going to say 6.
That's where I stand on it. That's my quick
I would
review.
Say a 7 based on Ben Affleck. Because I thought he was fantastic.
Okay, you're going right where I want to start with. So instead of me getting, because boy oh boy, can I go right into it. Instead of me just going right into the things that I just effing hate about this film, let's talk about the cool things. Batfleck.
Yeah.
He was good.
There was a lot of concern. Like when they first announced Affleck as being the new Batman, and people were like, oh, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
whatever. And I thought he was a good Batman. I thought he was a fantastic Bruce
Wayne. I thought
he was
a better Bruce Wayne than he was a Batman.
He was a good Bruce Wayne, yeah.
And that's not saying that I thought he was a bad Batman. I thought he was a really good Batman, too.
One thing, it's not really Affleck, but one thing I liked about this movie was there was so much said about Christian Bale doing that Batman voice. I liked that they put in the thing that he had the voice modifier.
Yes, yeah.
Just so it's like, that's why his voice is like that. He's not him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And but, even the voice modifier, it didn't sound as grungy as Christian Bale's.
Hey. There's literally some lines in Dark Knight Rises where you're like, what did he say?
Yeah.
You know, what? Yeah, I mean, you understood Batman. There was only one line that I didn't understand, and I had to look at my brother and go, what did he say? And it was the line right after he stops his fist that you see in the trailer. And, you know, I thought that was the line where he was going to go, here's where I teach you what it means to be a man. But do you remember what he said? He says something to him, and it was kind of like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what did he say? And then it just goes right into punching. You know, he just starts punching him and, you know, beating the crap out of him.
The next, you know, 7 minutes of that movie is the best 7 minutes of that movie.
Yeah.
As it should be for a movie titled Batman v. Superman. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, we'll get into that. Let's talk about some other things I liked. I like Batman. I like Batfleck.
Did you like Henry Cavill as Superman? I liked him as Superman, but I did not like the way his character was written. But as acting,
well,
it was good.
Okay, you're getting into something. Yeah, you're getting into territory where else I wanted to take this. So I've liked Henry Cavill since Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a great Superman.
Yeah.
But some people get confused when I say that. Like, they're like, well, he's no
Christopher Reeve.
And I'm like, well, what do you mean when you say that? And they start talking about how, you know, Christopher Reeve had the smile and the charisma. And that's where I want to stop people and go, well, Henry Cavill can do those things too, but his Superman isn't written that way. And this is the problem that I have. Here's the fundamental problem that I have with this film. My issue is with the writers.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people online really hate on Zack Snyder. And I'm not saying that Zack Snyder has zero blame. He is the director, obviously. So obviously he has a little bit of say, and he has a lot of say, actually. But I think the writers who wrote this movie don't know the characters they're writing. They just don't know. It just comes across like they read one comic book called The Dark Knight Returns, and the only thing they remember from that comic is at one point Batman and Superman fought, and that's it. And they don't remember anything else. And I think Zack Snyder is a great director, and I have, and people may disagree with me on this, but I love 300 and I love Watchmen. And my argument for those two movies, they're extremely well directed. The dude knows how to do a fight scene. They're extremely well composed and stuff. And both of those movies, the reason why they work so well, they have great scripts. I think if you give the guy a good script, he will give you a good movie. Did you see Sucker Punch?
No.
It's a movie he wrote, and it's garbage. Yeah, he co-wrote Man of Steel. And I know you like that movie. I don't. But I just don't think the guy's a writer. I think if you can get Zack Snyder to stay away from the page and just have him focus on directing, you could get a good movie out of him. But that's how I feel about Zack Snyder. But I don't know. I just think the people that wrote this movie, it's like, wow, it's just all over the place. But I mean, how did you guys feel about, like, just tell me what your thoughts are on the story. Just the plot in general of the movie. Like, did you feel like it was nuts?
It, like you said, it was.
That was a little leading, Luke.
Tell me how you feel.
Nuts. Like you said, I thought it was all over the place. That the one thing I said before the movie came out, that my fear is exactly what happened, is that they tried to do too much.
Yes.
Instead of just taking their time and letting it be a slow burn, like Marvel has done with their phases and everything, they're just like, let's throw all of this stuff together and catch up quick. And it's like,
yeah,
you need to build a base.
I think it'll be interesting when people see Civil War that comes out here in a month. And I feel like that is a movie, obviously, by the trailers, it looks like there's a lot going on in that movie.
Yep.
And it's going to be the same 3 hours. Yep. It's going to be just as long as this movie. And a part of me wonders if the reason why no one's going to walk away from that movie upset is because they don't need to set up these characters.
Yeah, exactly.
You already know
there's
them.
Two characters tops that you need to set up, and that's Black Panther and Spider-Man. You don't really need to set Spider-Man up, but this is going to be the first time that he's going to be in this universe.
And you technically don't need to set up Black Panther, because they're kind of doing the same thing with him that they did with Wonder Woman in this, where it's like, we're bringing him in, but don't worry, he's getting his own movie here next year.
Which I hate that.
How did you feel about the Wonder Woman thing?
I thought she was fantastic. She was a really good part of the movie. I hate the way that they brought her in. I feel like she should have had her movie before Batman v Superman. I feel like this movie should have happened 4 years down the road from now.
I think that's what a lot of people are thinking.
It's something that you read. Everybody thinks that. They should have spent time to set up all these characters instead of trying to rush to play catch up with Infinity Wars and everything else with their Justice League. Let Marvel have their time to make their movies. And then, you know, you're going to be a few years behind them. Whoop-de-doo.
I sort of agree, but I think Black Panther should have had the movie first. Wonder Woman is a way more iconic character where you can get away with saying, okay, here she is, you get the movie. But you kind of have a basic understanding. How many people are actually going to know Black Panther
in
his background?
You do have a point, but granted, we've not seen that movie yet, so we have no clue how he's handled.
Yeah,
we don't know. Don't know. I mean, if I had to guess, though, I think they're just going to just throw him in there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here's Black Panther. Check him out.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, she's iconic, that she doesn't need set up and everything. Well, you've had set up with Batman and Superman.
Well, this is a new universe. This is a new universe. And they didn't do a lot of setup for Batman in this movie, which is something I liked. It's like, hey, here's his parents getting shot. You already know that. You don't need to see him Batman for 20 years or whenever he's here.
How did you feel about seeing his parents die?
That opening scene, I thought, up until the point of the funeral,
I was like, okay, they're going to show this again. I like the way that it was done, you know, the stop motion where you have the close-in on the gun, like, firing everything.
It was extremely well choreographed.
Yeah, that was very...
It was beautiful.
That got me excited for the movie. I was like...
I was actually getting, like, choked up. Yeah. Like, seeing his parents die, I'm just like, oh, I've seen this a million times, but it still gets me.
Then he runs off, and he falls down this...
I know where you're going with
this. He falls down this cave.
Yes.
Sees the bats, and, like, you know, you've seen this 100 times.
Sure.
And then the bats swarming, like, and then he starts flying out of this cave. And everything in me are going... Walk out of this theater.
Okay, so I'll tell you my thoughts. Like,
walk out of this theater.
I was sitting there. Now, keep in mind, help me out here. Did it go that moment, and then it went to the straight? Then it jumped straight to the end of Man of Steel, or did Man of Steel happen? Then it went to that scene.
It went from
the parents.
Yeah.
Then to okay. So I remember sitting there going, "Oh, this is beautiful." Like, even though I've seen this a million times, because, I mean, the death of Batman's parents, it's almost like Jesus dying on the cross at this point. It's like you could go up to anybody on the street and be like, how did Batman, what happened to his parents? Like, everybody knows this origin by now. And when it happened, I was with it. I was like, this is awesome. And the moment he started floating, I literally went like this. I put my hands on the chair and I went, No. I was like, whoa, what's happening? I was like you. I started having red flags of like, because I kept having, here's what happened. The first hour of the film, I kept bouncing back and forth. Because I knew going in, the movie had very bad reviews.
Yeah.
So yeah. I went into it sort of thinking, I had low expectations. And then the movie started out so strong. Because you had that scene, and then that whole scene where Metropolis is being destroyed.
Yeah, that was really good.
Was epic. Like, it was so freaking good.
They did such an amazing job setting up Batman in this movie.
I agree. It's such a great job. And I was with the movie. I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to like this. Like, yeah. I put my hand up to my mouth like, I'm going to like this. I can tell I'm going to like this. And then the moment Lex walks out on the screen, I just was like, it died for me. And then, not just him, but just other things.
And that started the ball going down.
It starts the ball, and then, like, just some plot holes happen, some story elements happen. There was literally a moment in the movie, and I know this is a moment that we'll talk about, where you will facepalm. You will go like this. Because I did. I was like, oh my goodness, there, no way.
Yeah.
And it has created probably the greatest memes online ever.
Yes.
And you guys know the moment I'm talking about.
Martha?
But DJ said something to me before. Mm-hmm. This is the only thing he shared with me. But he was like, I didn't mind Lex.
I'll tell you why.
Try to talk to me about that.
I don't mind Jesse as Lex, because that's the way, just like you don't mind what's his name as Superman, Henry Cavill. It's just the writing, I think, was terrible for Lex. He did what he was supposed to do. He did what they wanted him to be. Some crazy, schizophrenic, off the rocker Lex Luthor. And he was that. They wanted him to be someone that was annoying. I think he nailed what he was supposed to be.
Okay, I'll agree with you there. But why I hated it, and I can't emphasize the word hate enough, I hated that whole thing.
Now, I'll say I did hate his character, but I think he did a good job playing his character. That's kind of
We'll get into his whole plot in a minute, because that plot is, oh boy, that's a doozy. But his, because that boy, I just remember sitting there going, how much money was spent to make this movie?
No, too much.
Like $500 million or something. I was like, $500 million, and that's the script you come up with. Okay. here's my argument for why I don't like Jesse Eisenberg. Jesse Eisenberg. Party foul? What does that do? We need a podcast foul.
Oh,
you have to do something, Al.
Punishing
McMurray.
You gotta take a shot.
It's
terrible.
DJ just spilled
crap everywhere.
I just spilled
bourbon.
Very expensive bourbon.
It's not very expensive.
Ain't no way that bottle's not expensive.
Yeah, I live off Yingling and PBR. So yeah. That's expensive.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. So, I think here's my argument for Jesse Eisenberg. I've seen him in the Facebook movie, mm-hmm. Social Network. I saw him in Zombieland. What's some other movies he's been in?
Adventureland. He's really good in it.
Adventureland is probably like his best acting role. I would agree with that. But here's my problem I have with him. He's sort of like a Michael Cera. And what I mean by that is he kind of plays the same character in every film. Mm. And he's good at that kind of character, that one kind of character.
Like a geeky neurotic.
Yes, the geeky neurotic dude. And I think my issue with him is, and you know, we talked about this with Heath Ledger. We talked about this with John Goodman in Cloverfield. Mm-hmm. What to me makes a good villain is a villain where it's like they are so good that they literally disappear in the role and you don't see that actor anymore and you see a character. And I could not get past that with him. Like, I looked at Ben Affleck in this movie and I'm like, that's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Mm. That's Batman, or that's Superman, or that is Wonder Woman. Holy crap. Like, she looks just like her. Mm. Every time Lex was on screen, I'm like, that's Jesse Eisenberg doing a Bugs Bunny impression. Like, that's Jesse Eisenberg doing a goofy... Like, it's him doing his closest Heath Ledger that he can, but it's like, it's just Jesse Eisenberg. I never saw him as Lex for one moment. Like, that's my hang-up with him.
Same thing, and I did the same thing with Lois Lane.
God, I hated Lois Lane.
Lois Lane sucked in this movie.
For me, she was under Eisenberg.
I agree.
I like Amy Adams and I like Lois Lane, but in this movie, it was just...
I don't like Lois Lane. I like Amy Adams.
That entire plot with her, like, I gotta find these bullets and search, go find out what's going on with these bullets. That whole plot could have been cut out.
Yeah.
And it would have been a better movie. I mean, like...
It would.
That and, hey, let's throw the spear down a deep, dark hole. Oh, wait, let me go get it back again. I'm like...
Oh, my goodness. So...
Let me chug it 30...
So now I'm going to get... Yeah, okay. Let's just get into the stuff about this movie. This is really...
Was there anything else that you liked?
I think I've pretty much talked about it. Like, I like Batman. I like Ben as Batman. I love the opening scene with the destruction and stuff. That was... The action was great. Probably the best scene in the movie, though... And we saw a little bit of it in the trailers. That fight scene at the end with Batman, where he's taking those thugs out. You know what I'm talking about? He's saved, where he's going to go save Martha. That has got to be one of the best, just...
Choreographed.
Holy crap.
Beautiful.
There is one moment...
Makes you feel like the video game.
It felt like Arkham. That's what it felt like. One of the coolest moments, too, in that fight. And it was so quick. I wonder if you remember it. But he's like, you know, he's just taking dudes out left and right. And there's one quick moment where a guy pulls a pistol out and shoots him in the back of the head.
Oh, yeah.
And he literally just turns around like, really?
Really?
And just knocks the guy out. Yeah, and you're like, that is so cool.
That was awesome.
So cool. The action was great. Like I said, Zach, he can do a fight scene. I'm one of those rare people that I really like the Wonder Woman stuff. I like the way it was handled.
I don't think that's rare.
I've seen a lot of complaints. I've seen a lot of people say online that they should not have forced her in. She should not have even been in the movie.
I would agree with that, but I thought she was good.
I won't say that she shouldn't have been in the movie, but I wish they would have done a little bit.
I mean, I can kind of see what some people are saying, but it simply isn't true because the people that are arguing that, they're like, well, we don't know anything about her. There's no backstory. But like what McMurray said, it's like, who doesn't know Wonder Woman? She's such an iconic...
We're having an understanding, at least a brief understanding.
I know who she is, but I don't know
You don't know anything about her. No. Right. Well, but... And I think you make a good point when you say this movie should have been four movies down the road. I think this movie... I don't know if I'll ever like Man of Steel. But I think this movie will get better in time because...
It set everything up?
Well, with Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman solo movie that comes out next year, it's a prequel to this movie.
So I think like when these solo movies start coming out, like an Aquaman movie and a Cyborg movie, it's like they're, it's like they made this movie too soon. They should have done the opposite.
Yes.
And this is, this brings up a whole other discussion of like, they're just trying so hard to be different from Marvel, and I don't know why.
It's, they're trying to be different from Marvel and catch up to Marvel at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, I can kind of understand. It's not that I disagree with them wanting to be different from Marvel. Like, look, you want to do a darker tone? That's fine. You know, that's fine or whatever. But I mean, like, to me, Marvel has already trained an audience. They've laid the groundwork. They've done all the hard work for you. You know, I don't know how many people, and I wonder if this was this way in your theater, but when we watched the movie, like me and my brother got up, because we already Googled and knew there was no after credit scene, literally everyone stayed in their seats. Yeah. And I've seen that being a complaint.
Well, I mean, it was us with us in the movie. That they looked it up to see if there was a scene. Just, I do that with almost any movie now, though, and not just Marvel.
Because Marvel's trained you, though, to do that. And I just think, I hate how there is this feeling of, I mean, they would probably deny it, but it's so obvious they're trying to play catch up. And I hate that because it's like, why? Why? Why are you trying to play catch up? If you're so worried about doing your own thing, then just do your own thing.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's so obvious what you're doing. Here's what it feels like. It feels like somebody, some producer at WB looked at movies and he said, well, Thor made this amount of money, and Cap made this amount of money, but look at what the Avengers made when they brought them all together. That made way more money than Ant-Man, which it did. So I just felt like they were like, let's just do that. Let's just put the Superman sequel, let's put Batman in there. And then someone was like, let's put Wonder Woman in it. And then, we'll put Aquaman, and we'll put Cyborg, and we'll put
Flashes. Of Aquaman Cyborg.
Yeah.
It's like they're thinking Flash.
Yeah, Superman will bring in X amount of dollars. Batman will bring in X amount of dollars. Wonder Woman will bring in X amount of dollars. They're like, oh, we got all these X amount of dollars. It's going to do this.
Exactly. And like I've already read, I read today actually that IGN, I went on their website and they were talking about how the solo Flash movie is now, it's going to be a Flash and Cyborg movie. You know, it's like, we're never going to get another solo anything in this universe. And, I mean, a lot of fans are like, there's an outcry now of, like, give us a solo Batfleck movie.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people want to see that.
Did you read where he's already, he wrote it?
I hope that's true.
Well, that come from his,
I hope that's
that
true.
That come from his, like, his agent or whatever.
Publicist or whatever, yeah.
That Affleck has already wrote.
I hope that's
a
true.
A Batman movie and turned it in, hoping that.
Oh, they would be so stupid not to do that.
That means they won't.
You're probably right.
I don't know. That's money. They probably will.
I mean,
because they're not stupid. They can look at the reviews just like we can. And the only positive reviews just about that comes out of any of these is Ben Affleck is a really good Batman. So they're going to want to hold on to him.
Oh, sure.
Didn't that same thing that I read about that, they said that they were wanting to try to lock him up to be Batman for the next 10 years.
I've not heard that. That would be pretty crazy. And because he is actually only signed on to 3 movies as of right now. This one and Justice League 1 and 2.
1 and 2. And it's said that he may be an appearance in Suicide Squad.
Well, we know he is. He's in the trailer. He's on top of the car. But I mean, you're right, like we don't know how quick that is. We don't know anything about it.
Is that all you see of him?
That's all you see of. That's all anyone's seeing.
That's what all you see in the movie.
Right, yeah, and technically speaking, that guy on top of the car was a stunt double.
Yeah, it wasn't Ben.
It wasn't really Ben.
That's what I'm saying.
I see what you're saying now.
Are you getting Ben Affleck?
Is he really even in the movie?
Are you getting a Batman in the background?
That's true.
Do you think not even Affleck.
Do you think the reviews for this movie are going to make them go in and make changes to Suicide Squad?
Oh, it did.
It's already
a story. Like, they have spent, what was it, like $100 million to go in and reshoot and add humor to the movie? Because that was like a big complaint with Batman v Superman. They're like, there is just no humor. It's so serious and dark.
That gets me excited and also very concerned. It gets me excited because I was hoping that Suicide Squad would have humor in it. Because I'm hoping it's just like the Guardians of the Galaxy type thing.
At the same time, the reason I'm concerned is, are they forcing it? And forced humor is never good humor.
They admitted that all the funny scenes you saw in the trailer, that's all the funny scenes in the movie. And they said that, but I'm with you there, generally reshoots is never a good thing. No. Never. Like, it's never good. Like, whenever that happens, that's bad news. But I'm still looking for, even if I hated this movie, I would still be looking forward to that one. For two reasons. Harley Quinn is one of my favorite characters in the DC universe. And two, and yeah, well, I guess I have three reasons. Mario Robbie. And but three, because David Ayer, the director of that movie, he's the opposite of Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder, he's had a few farts in the tub. Like, he's made some bad movies. He's made some good movies, but David Ayer has yet to make a bad movie. All his movies are good. So, I don't know. I think that movie will be, at the very least, better. Better than these. And that's kind of my hope moving forward with these. Think about it. The only other movie that the WB producers can base this off of is Man of Steel, which Zack Snyder directed also. So maybe when these other movies start coming out, like David Ayer's Suicide Squad, the director that did, like, I think it's The Conjuring. He did, like, scary movies, and he's doing the Aquaman movie. And then the Wonder Woman movie.
Pretty excited for that Aquaman movie.
I am, too. You know, I'm hoping that when these other directors do their versions, and they're better received, and fans like them more, that maybe the WB will rethink Zack Snyder's involvement. Which is, like I just pointed out, I think it's kind of unfair. You know, because I think Zack Snyder is a good director, but it's all about the company you keep.
Yeah.
Like, Zack Snyder brings writers with him on a project, and they're just clearly, they're not doing a good job. Like, I just want to go ahead and just dive right into, like, these moments of the movies that I'm referring to that really bad writing for me.
Well, before we do that, okay. I want to say one other thing that
you liked?
That made me dislike the movie.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't about writing. Well, I guess technically it is about writing, because it's the reason the whole thing was bad. But another reason that Marvel is going to be more successful than DC in the long run. If you took Amelia to that movie.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. Yeah. I talked about this.
Okay, Amelia's seen Marvel movies. She loves Captain America. She loves... You take her to see this. This is not
a
kids movie. But kids love Superman and Batman.
I know.
So they're like, yay, daddy. Yeah. Let's go watch this. They go watch this. When they're in our movie, while Superman was being buried, there was a kid crying.
Yeah.
In the back.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know for sure that kid was crying.
It was crying because of that, Superman, right?
But, I mean, that made me... In that moment... I hadn't thought about the entire movie. In that moment, I thought, this is a shitty movie to bring kids to.
It's a super bad movie to bring kids to, because think about it. It's called Batman v Superman. And like you said, a lot of kids love Batman and Superman.
10-year-old self would be like,
yeah, and it's a 3-hour movie, and you don't see those dudes fight until a good 2 hours in.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to sit through a lot of boring parts. If you're a 10-year-old, you're going to find a lot of that boring.
Now, going to Marvel... Taking kids to Marvel movies, you've got the humor, you've got a lot of action, it's always brighter, it's just, the characters are better.
They're Marvel, that Marvel knows exactly who they're marketing to. They're marketing to family. Because
I was trying to say everybody.
No matter who your age is, you're getting something out of it. The little kid's getting something out of it when he sees Spider-Man, the adults are getting something out of it when we see, like, you know, Tony Stark's humor and stuff that might go over a little kid's head or something. Black Widow. We all get something out of it. But this film, even though it's not rated R, it is very much for adults.
Yeah. Like,
did you have a problem with Batman shooting people?
Yes. That is the only... But again...
Is that something you were talking about later?
No, we'll go ahead and talk about it now. But again, this kind of goes into a writing thing.
Okay.
It makes no sense to me. Batman would never kill anyone. Batman has killed before. There is actually a scene in the movie that is straight from the comic book. And it's an awesome moment in the movie. And it's very similar to the scene in Man of Steel where Zod is about to kill the family and he snaps his neck. Here's how I feel about superheroes killing people. It's okay if it's a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. If it's like, okay, there's nothing else he could have done in that moment. Okay, I get it, you know. Granted, I still think Superman in the comics would have grabbed Zod and just flew up into space. I don't know why he had to snap the neck, but whatever, I'll roll with it because let's be honest, that fight went on way too long and it needed to end. But there's a moment similar to this in this movie where Batman jumps in to save Martha and the guy has that flamethrower and he goes, I'll do it. I'll kill her.
Yeah.
And Batman has the gun and he goes, I believe you.
I believe you.
And
yeah.
Boom. And that's right out of Dark Knight Returns. Very cool moment. And it's a powerful moment because you're like, in the comic, because you're like, Batman just killed that guy.
Yeah.
But in this movie, it's not as effective because 20 minutes ago, you just saw him in the Batmobile murdering dudes.
Not even 20 minutes. He was shooting people in that fight scene.
That's true. Yeah, I mean,
He got like an SMG and was shooting people.
It's not that I'm upset that Batman kills, but it's killing without remorse. That's where it bothers me. That's where I'm like, well, I don't think Batman would kill without...
I thought that one scene was a dream sequence.
Where he's in the thing. There's a lot of debate on that. Some people are saying dream. I took that as vision. It's a vision he's given of the future. Because I don't understand why Batman would be dreaming about parademons. Because that's what those things are. The right. Big flying things. That's Darkseid's army. Like, Batman don't know but who Darkseid is. If that's a vision,
it's gotta be a vision, he wouldn't have been killing them yet. So do you think him killing these people...
It was a vision of the future.
Do you think him killing these people at the end of the movie could be a catalyst pushing him into killing?
So immediately after that scene, you have Flash talking to him, which another moment that should have been awesome, but it bugged the crap out of me because that is based off one of the greatest DC stories ever called Flashpoint,
yeah.
Where Flash comes back in time and all this crap. And it was so lazily done in this. It was so forced, like we just got to get Flash in the movie and we got to set up the Justice League movie. Because he literally goes, am I early? Oh, I'm too early. It makes, like, this is my argument with this movie. Every superhero in this movie sucks. Like, they're all stupid. Batman is the world's greatest detective. Yet Lex played him with those dumb letters. And I'll get into that in a minute, why that makes no sense. Superman is just an emo idiot who just, like, never has any emotion. He's just sad all the time. You know, I don't understand how he can hear Lois falling off a building from half the planet away.
Yeah.
But he couldn't hear his mom, who's in the next building over. That makes no sense to me. I don't understand why Flash comes back in time to talk to Batman, but he comes too early. And he's like, am I too early? Oh, I'm too early. He literally says that.
See, I couldn't understand him.
I couldn't either.
That's what he says. He says, I'm early. That clip is playing on Instagram like crazy. So you can rewatch it again and again. So I've watched it a few times, but he says, I'm early. Oh, I'm too early. And then he goes, Lois, you was right about him. Lois is the key. That's what he says. And basically, you know what that is. It's the Injustice video game. I mean, have you guys played Injustice? Mm-hmm. It's like Lois dies, Superman goes crazy, and he becomes the villain and all this stuff. So I don't know if that's what they're setting up for the Justice League movie because he died in this one. Like, I don't know. It's like a whole thing, but...
I was thinking that the Justice League movies would be... Or it wasn't like what they were hoping it would be. It would be like Brainiac in the first one and then Darkseid in the second one.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're just going to go straight to Darkseid. I almost kind of going back to the Marvel competition, I almost wonder if they're in their mind, they're like, well, they're about to get to Thanos, so we need to get to Darkseid.
Yeah.
Like it's a race. It does. It sucks. Because like what you just said, that would make sense. Please bring in Brainiac. Brainiac's a great villain. We've yet to see him in the live-action setting. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be awesome. Superman has good villains. Mm-hmm. But, like, people just... The only villains that people know is Zod and Lex Luthor. Because those are the ones the movies do over and over again.
Mr. Mixel picks.
I would like to see either Metallo or Brainiac. Those are great villains. And, like, Bizarro. Do Bizarro Superman. Which was a theory for a long time.
It was a theory in this.
I actually, for a moment there, when he has the dream sequence, I thought, oh, this is Bizarro. Like, that went through my mind for a moment. I was like, no, it's a dream. Or whatever. You know, whatever it is. But I don't know. I just feel like like I said, it's just bad. It's just the people writing this movie don't understand these characters. Superman, I thought after the events of Man of Steel, he would grow and he would learn from that experience. He doesn't. He's still just an emo guy that's still just like...
Why doesn't everyone love him?
He's just like... I thought one of the most disappointing moments in the movie, they're having this political kind of conversation in the film that they kind of play with for a little bit of like, do we even want a Superman?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a fascinating question. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a question that literally deserved its own movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like that, this movie should have had a Man of Steel 2 before this movie happened.
Yeah.
And it's like they kind of did that. You know, Dan from Movie Fights?
Oh, yeah.
He made a very great argument for why this movie's terrible. He said, in this movie, there are five movies. he's like, one, it's a Batman solo movie. Two, it's a Man of Steel sequel with Superman. Three, it's a Batman v Superman movie that's dealing with their ideological differences. Four, it's a Lex Luthor movie. And five, it is a Justice League setup movie. And it's just too many stories going on at one time. And it's so convoluted and it's so all over the place. And, you know, like, that was kind of my issue with why did they shoehorn in the death of Superman? Like, they just forced that story. Again, one of the best comic books ever in the story of comic books. And they just forced that in there at the very end. Like, you didn't even see it coming. Because in your mind, you're like, no, that'd be too stupid. And they shove it in your face at the last of it. And it's just sort of like... I don't know. I mean, how did you all feel about that? Like, him...
You're getting to the thing I hated the most about the movie, and that was Doomsday. Because that is such a huge character.
Yes. That would have deserved its own movie.
In its own movie.
Yes.
They... First off, just his look was wrong to me.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been 15 feet tall.
Right. CGI was terrible in that scene.
Yeah, he was a saint. Like, in the books, which... I mean, it's their property to do whatever they want. But he was the same size as Superman, just bulky and big and thick. And they would sit there and pound on each other. In this, he was 15 feet tall. In the books, he had these sharp, jagged bones sticking out everywhere that would cut Superman up. In this, they look like dull studs.
Yeah.
I don't remember him doing...
I don't think it was like dull studs. Killed Superman.
I don't know.
Yeah, because he, like, lost his hand, and then it, like, grew back into these rock for, like, shark things.
He first got his spikes when he got hit by,
At one point, he literally rips his skin off.
And
he, like, sheds his skin.
That's when he grows the spikes.
Yeah, that's when the spikes... And then he kind of started looking like Doomsday a little bit. Because he was a Ninja Turtle there for a bit.
Yep.
And then he became Doomsday. But
by then, it was like, spear dead. Well, and what was the whole big explosion thing?
People still can't figure that out.
Yeah.
He kept radiating explosions. Here's, I'm going to go into, now I am going to hate on Zack Snyder a little bit. Because, first off, there's one moment, this is where I'm conflicted. There's an awesome moment with Batman in this movie. There's several awesome moments with Batman.
Yes.
There's a little moment that I love, and it's such a small moment, but it's a great Bruce Wayne moment, but it's kind of a Batman moment too. You remember the part where he goes to a fight?
These
guys are fighting, and the dude gets knocked into Bruce Wayne, and he whispers something in his ear, and you don't hear what he says, and the guy wins.
The guy beats
him. And the guy turns and just looks at him, and he's like, Yeah, he just smiles at him. I was like, that's so cool.
That's awesome.
Because you know, it makes you wonder, like, what do you say? Just hit him in the head. You know what I mean? Like,
try hitting him.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was cool.
Don't suck.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was a cool moment. But now I'm going to hate on Zach a little bit because Zach, he's a great director. He knows how to do a fight scene. But that moment at the end that you're talking about, first off, that is not Batman. Why would Batman... Oh, so he's in the ship, right? Darkseid, not Darkseid, Doomsday. Right. Doomsday lands on that island, right? And he goes, the spear. He goes, I got to go back to Gotham City. Why would Batman, of all people who has sworn his whole life to protect Gotham City, lead that monster back to Gotham just so it can go over? I just felt like that was a lazy excuse. Because Zack Snyder wanted to film a bunch of buildings getting blown up. That's all that felt. It felt like Transformers. It just felt like Michael. It felt like a Michael Bay movie. Like, I just need stuff to blow. And they just gave him this power where it's like he just radiates explosions. And
That's stupid.
It was like lightning. It was
one
like,
thing I was wondering about, like, exactly how close are Gotham and Metropolis in this universe?
Apparently a pond separates them.
Well, you can see. You can see it.
You see them, yeah.
When she's sitting on top of Lex Luthor's tower or whatever, you can see the...
It's like a lake.
You can see the lot.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, they made them neighbor cities.
Growing up, I always thought it was Gotham was New York, Metropolis was Chicago.
That is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
they're side by side cities.
They're Boston and New York.
Right? That's exactly what they are. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. I mean, that didn't bug me, but just like, that didn't bother me. But I thought that was so stupid. Like, we'll just go ahead and talk about it. So, Martha, you know, the Martha moment, like, we'll just go ahead and get into it. So,
Martha?
I personally felt like...
What'd you say?
I personally felt like the entire reason they were fighting was really stupid. Because, let me get into why... Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you my thoughts behind it, and you tell me yours. So, at the beginning of the film, they brilliantly set up why it totally makes sense to you why Bruce Wayne would want to fight this guy.
Yes.
Because of all the destruction and stuff. Well, then they kind of, like, get off of it a little bit. Like, they don't really touch on it ever again. Like, I realize, you know, he's trying to get kryptonite the rest of the movie. But Superman is, like, his whole plot line is, like, talking to Perry White, you know, when he's Clark, and he's like, we need to write a story about the Bat Gotham. And Perry's like, no. And it's like, it never really sets up, like...
You don't know.
Why is Clark mad at Batman?
Well, I was going to say, you have no idea why Superman hates Batman.
No, they never establish that. It never makes any sense.
It makes complete sense why Batman hates Superman. He tore up the city...
That makes sense.
The phone call or the guy.
It makes more sense. But you never understand why Superman doesn't like Batman. And then when you just get into Lex's whole plot, like this is where the movie jumped shark for me. Where he's on top of the building and he's talking to him and he just starts talking about crap like, you know, God hates man and man, you know. It's like his whole plot is... If Batman can beat you, then that proves that man can kill God. But if Superman kills Batman, now help me out here. If Superman kills Batman, then that means God's a jerk? Was that kind of what he was getting at? Because like either way, Lex wins depending on who wins that fight. And it was so stupid, the motivation behind it. And then he's like, I got your mom, so you got to do what I have to say, which again, I jump back to,
why
he's Superman.
And two...
And then I'm just like, so wait a minute, the straw that breaks the camel's back for Batman is those letters. He gets those letters, and that's the moment where he goes, I gotta go fight this guy. Like, why didn't they just... And it pissed me off how it was a montage. He gets the letters... Then we break right into a montage of Ben Affleck doing CrossFit. And then he gets the suit on, which came out of nowhere.
While he's trying to cut the kryptonite.
Yeah, right.
That's what's happening in that.
But to me, it would have logically made more sense if you do the opening shot of the destruction, and that's all the motivation you need. You don't need letters from Lex. You just swear, I'm going to fight this guy, and the remaining of the movie is you building that suit, getting kryptonite, working out, you know, preparing for this fight, setting up booby... Like, they did the whole, like, him setting up booby traps, like, in that montage. Like, it happened very quickly. And, you know, it's like Superman goes over there to fight him, and instead of them talking, he does the, you know, what Deadpool makes fun of, the superhero landing. You know, he lands and cracks the ground, and he's looking all intimidating and badass.
I laughed during that.
Yeah.
Because I thought of Deadpool.
Yeah, because it's like, it's too much. And it's like, why is Superman acting so intimidating? And, like, why doesn't he just say, hey, Batman, this douchebag has my mom up here. Let's go fight it. Like, it makes no sense. And then so they don't even talk, and they go right into fighting, which, again, cool fight. I'll give it to him. Cool fight. And followed up by another really cool line in the movie where Batman is, he just got done beating the piss out of him, and he's dragging Superman. I love that moment where he goes, I bet your parents told you that you were special. I bet you they told you that you had purpose. And he goes, you know what my parents told me? That there is no purpose. That the only way this world makes sense is if you force it. I thought that was such a Batman line. That was so cool to me. And then we get into, I thought the reason they was fighting was dumb, but I thought there's no way they can top that. And then the dumbest moment is when they stop fighting. He's like, which looked cool. I love how his mask was cracked. It reminded me of the very first Spider-Man when his mask was all ripped up and he was fighting Goblin. Like, that's a cool image just for a superhero to have. He's got the spear. He's about to kill him. The dude says Martha. Superman says Martha. He goes, what? Why'd you say that name? Why'd you say that name? And then, of course, Lois runs in. You're like, oh my gosh. And then she's like, that's just Mother's name.
First.
Yeah, that's his mom. That's his mother's name. And then Batman literally is like, we just became best friends.
Well, he even says that when he goes in and rescues Martha.
Yeah.
I'm a friend of your son.
Okay. I hate that moment because that is such a Batman thing to say, and that was a lot of people chuckled. That's like the only moment in the movie people laughed.
That's because she goes, yeah, I figured the cape.
Which is freaking stupid because Batman's been 20 years before Superman in this universe, but whatever. and then he says
and apparently there's just a small creek that separates
how them. Do they not know each other? Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Like when he goes, who's that? I'm like, that's Bruce Wayne. It's like, that would be like, that's like in our universe, that's Donald Trump. You know, it's like, how do you not know who Bruce Wayne is?
No,
you're a reporter.
Yeah.
It's a famous rich guy. How do you not know who Bruce Wayne is?
To me, that's like Bernie Sanders saying, who's that?
That's
Donald Trump.
Right. It's like,
oh, that's another presidential
candidate. I thought when we saw that scene in the trailer, and that's another complaint about this movie, like, pretty much the whole movie spoiled.
Yeah.
If you saw these trailers, you saw the movie, pretty much, for the most part.
Did I say that in the previous pod? Like,
yeah.
That's my fear.
You were dead on. And I that's another thing that I kind of question. Like, I can't help but wonder, like, if I went in this movie blind, like, if I knew nothing, I probably would have enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of cool stuff that trailer robs you of.
Oh, yeah.
Totally robs you of. But I don't know where I was going with that. I know I was about to go off on how there's just another dumb moment.
Martha.
Yeah, the Martha thing. You guys tell me your reaction to that. Like, when you saw that.
Step Brothers.
It was kind of Step Brothers-ish.
Did we just become best friends?
So much fun.
I waited for them to do a stop high five, you know.
I know what I was about to say now. The moment where he says to Martha, I'm friend of your son's, that line was funny and would have worked in a different movie, but it didn't feel earned in this one because you just met the guy and you just beat the crap out of him. You're not friends with him. Why are you friends with him? There was another moment kind of like that, similar to that, where at the end when he dies, and there's a moment there where you've got the Trinity. You've got Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman and Superman never speak to each other in this movie. Did you know that? They never say one line to each other. and he's dead, and Batman's standing there all grim, and Lois is crying, and she's kind of standing there just like looking off like, you know, like, she don't know this dude. You know, she don't know him. I mean, she knows of him.
Yeah.
But she don't know him. I don't know.
I remember sitting there watching it, and it was like, as soon as it said Martha, I was thinking, I like where this is headed. And then they did it, and I was like, huh. How about that?
And what made it even worse, they flashbacked in that moment.
They flash back to that moment,
which it's like, how much more? It felt like the director was going, get it? Yeah, get it? Like, he was like just elbowing you, like, remember that scene at the beginning where, you know what I mean? It's like, yes, we get it. Like, I saw this one article, I think it was IGN, where this guy had top five reasons why I love Batman v Superman. Yeah, you sent it to me. And one of them was, the movie didn't treat you like an idiot. And I was like, the frick it didn't.
Yeah.
It treated me like I was five. Like, it was like, remember that?
It treated you like you were five, and then made it to where a five-year-old shouldn't watch it.
Yeah, it made you terrified. How did you feel about Batman branding? I personally didn't mind it.
I felt that was his way of doing justice.
I thought it was kind of cool. I thought that was a nice new little touch to Batman. However, there's one line in the movie that makes no sense to me with the branding. There's a shot of the news, and they go, you know, like, when Batman brains people, that's pretty much death in prison. And I'm like, why?
Why would that
be death in prison? Why would a criminal go into prison? They'd be like, well, Batman beat you up. You dead. I'm going to kill you now. Like, if anything, it should be like, me too. He got me too. Like, you know, that's normally how Arkham is. Like, all the criminals in there are because of Batman. I didn't understand that. They never explained that.
I don't know.
And here's how I kind of feel about the death thing. And I really, really hope this is where they're going with it. So Batman kills people in this movie. And that's the one and really the only thing I don't like about this version of Batman. But someone pointed out something very interesting on Reddit, and I hope it's true. I don't trust these filmmakers and writers to be smart enough to do this, but I hope this is the case. So at the end, when Batman goes to see Lex in the prison cell, he's about to brand him, and instead he punches the wall. And I didn't read much into that because honestly, by that point in the movie, I was just ready for it to end already.
Yeah.
But someone pointed out, they said, that is a sign of Batman giving up. Like, he's not going to kill anymore. That was his way of being like, you think they're reading too much into it?
I definitely don't. I think that's someone hoping.
I hope so.
I think that someone like you hoping that they'll... I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah.
I think what they try to portray in this is a Batman that had used to be, you know, very forgiving in the way he dealt with things, but he's an old Batman. And they alluded to that in this, you know, you're too old to die young now.
There are a couple of lines, though, that allude that Batman's having a mental breakdown.
Right. Well, I feel like he's older. He's tired of trying to save this city and it never getting any better. So I feel like,
yeah,
I mean, like, I just punish people. I tie them up and a week later, they're doing it again. If I kill them,
it's like Punisher, Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Put them down. They don't get back up.
Yeah.
I feel like the older Batman, I think he's evolved into something like that.
And if he
can do it, without killing, he will. But at the same time, it's just like, well, he was going to save Martha, but he doesn't have time to tie people up. Do you think he had to get in there and save Martha in that scene? So he did what he did.
Do you think it could have been saying that with the brand? Like, oh, they get branded, they're going to get killed in prison. That's his way of like not killing them, but killing them. Hey, I'll brand them. They'll finish you off in there.
Yeah, he's still killing them because
they're still getting killed in prison for some reason.
That's his judgment.
Yeah, he's still getting them killed. But I don't know. It kind of makes sense because they sort of set up in this movie that Robin died, Joker killed Robin, and that this Batman is really struggling with that, and that he's going through some kind of midlife crisis, mm-hmm. and maybe that's why, maybe the fallout with Robin has turned him into this Batman that's like, no more, I will kill. And then if you recall that line where Lex is talking to him, Lex says, because Batman's about to kill him, he's about to brand him that will get him killed, right? And Lex pretty much says to him, you know, you can go ahead and brand me. Nothing can be done because I rung the bell. The bell has been rung. And what he's alluding to is Darkseid.
Yeah.
I've awoken the beast. He's coming. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do to me. Because, you know, that's what Lex is in this movie. He's an agent of Apocalypse. So I just think, like, that was Batman just saying, him punching the wall and being like, maybe I need to go back to being old Batman. Again, I realize I'm coming across like a very hopeful fan. But that is what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that that's what that meant.
Oh, it's...
I don't know. It would make sense.
And this will be an unpopular opinion, but I'm okay with the killing Batman.
Right. Some people are okay
with it. I don't mean... I'm okay with it. I don't mean like mass murder Batman killing a purse snatcher.
Right.
But if... You know, in the cases of this movie where he killed people, every one of them, I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm okay with you killing that person.
I have to be.
Luke is walking away.
He held it in forever.
He has done pretty good so far about holding it.
Yeah, he's done pretty good in the last few episodes. I guess the Cloverfield, he got up a few times with Pete. Tiny, tiny bladder.
I can't see anything. I missed half the movie because I was getting up to go to the bathroom.
This is true. You went to the bathroom 43 times during Batman vs. Superman.
I had an energy drink and a coffee. I had an energy drink driving down here.
Oh, I was going to say. It's
like, and then I had the coffee. And I never drink caffeine. So it just went right through me. I was having to pee like every 20 minutes.
That's just
miserable.
Just sad.
Plus I'm old. As I already alluded at the beginning.
He is an old, old man.
I'm an old man.
Very old. Here he comes.
Here he comes.
It's like I said, I don't mind a Batman that kills, but it's just this movie did not give me enough to understand his motivation behind killing. Now, maybe Suicide Squad will have flashbacks, or maybe there will be, I don't know.
I think they just put enough scenes in there in hopes that you as a fan would find out his motivation on your own. Like the scene of Robin's.
Yeah.
I think they put that out there and hoping they go, okay, this is why he is the way he is now.
Yeah,
because they couldn't set that up anymore in this movie. This movie would have been 6 hours long because this should have been a Batman movie.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another character that I really love, Alfred. Do you not think Alfred was awesome?
I liked Alfred's character.
Alfred was really good. Like, that. I don't know who's that actor. I don't know.
He's been in a lot of movies.
But he was great. He was really great. Yeah, we got a computer right here. Jeremy Irons. Yeah.
So Jeremy Pivens.
he was really good. I really liked him.
The Lion King? He was in The Lion King. He was in The Lion King.
Yeah, I don't know. But,
well, I want to find out. Anyways. Okay, Scar. Never mind. Fine.
Yeah.
Just Scar.
He was Scar.
Oh, he was Scar. That's kind of cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Well... now I want to get into the next scene that I hated. And I'm curious to see, because this is a scene that a lot of people online, and we'll get into, I want to talk about that a little bit, just the reaction online, but this is a scene that's really divided fans. The Justice League moment, where Wonder Woman is on a computer, and she starts seeing various images of the Justice League members.
You see it twice.
I personally felt like that was the most lazy, shoehorned in way of just forcing something into a movie. Like, it was so, like, why are we, you know where that moment I think would have played better at? if there was an after credit scene. That would have played better there.
I totally agree.
Versus,
I feel like if Marvel, that's the way Marvel would have done it.
Like, that would have been better if you waited until after the credits, and then you show her on the airplane, and then you show her open up the laptop. Then you would have been like, well, that's kind of a neat little Easter egg way of setting up the Justice League. Yeah,
people.
That would have been okay with me, but that was garbage. That was so garbage the way it was done. I was so disappointed. The Flash thing didn't bother me, but Aquaman's, that shot of Aquaman was so long and awkward, and it was so obvious that it looked like he was holding his breath. Like, it looked like they filmed that scene on an iPhone a week before the movie came out. It just felt like they were like, we need a shot of Aquaman in there. Get him in a pool and just having just, you know, that's what it looked like. It looked like he was holding his breath, and it was just really weird. It's like, why is the camera on him for so long? Like, why do we need to get a good shot of him? Like, to me, it would have been cooler if you had this scuba diving team and they come up on this wreck ship and you just see the eyes. Like, the eyes open up, and then, boom, a trident hits the camera. That would have been cooler. Like, we don't need to see him. And then the whole, like, now we got a rush of a 15-second origin story of Cyborg. Like, that was stupid. That was so stupid. Like, you're coming out with a Cyborg movie. Why are you doing this? It felt too forced. Felt way too forced. I hated that moment. It sucked. I don't know what to say. Like, this is the problem I have with this movie. It's like, there's a lot, and this is why I stand on it's a 5 for me. Because as many things I can say that are good about the movie, there's just so many things about it that I'm like, I hate. Like, I hate the way they handled it. I hate the way they did it. I hope they can learn from their mistakes and we can just move forward and then we'll have better movies in the future. But I think the fan reaction online is interesting because there's a lot of people that love this movie.
Yeah.
And you can't ignore that. You can't ignore people that really love this movie.
Last time I checked, it had a 73%, I think, on audience, 73% audience score.
And people, like, if you go to, like, comment sections on a lot of these forums and stuff, a lot of people using the words love a lot. Like, they love this movie. A lot of the scenes that I pointed out tonight that I hated, they love them. They love those scenes. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that is the Transformer audience. You know what I mean when I say that?
That made Murray laugh.
You know what I mean when I say that? Oh, it's like, it's the audience it's where it's like...
Rudy Mundy audience.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Like,
me, it's, robots.
Yeah. Robots.
Bumblebee.
And look, don't get me wrong. Like, I watch those movies too, but let's be honest, you don't watch those movies for a story.
No.
You just want to see robots punch other robots in the face.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is so upsetting about these films is, like, I read the comics, so I know these stories are good. They have great stories behind them, and it's so upsetting to see them handled in a Transformers way, where it's like, the best scenes of this movie is when they're punching each other in the face. That's the best scenes of the movie.
I think Transformers also think of Doomsday and its radiant pulse and destroying everything.
Yeah.
I think that's all that is. It's just, we need more explosions. Well, can we make Doomsday?
Exactly.
Like, self-implode?
Right.
But not kill anything?
Right, yeah.
They saw that scene in Avengers where the Chitauri come down and destroy the city. And they're like, we have to do that in every movie now. So, Man of Steel, let's blow up everything. Let's blow up everything. It's like, you don't have to.
It just didn't make any sense because it sort of felt like the movie was trying to respond to the events of Man of Steel because they kind of screwed up. Like they, you know, Man of Steel had that. And then the fans, there was a big outcry from the fans of like, he killed all of Metropolis in that fight. And then people were like, well, we need to. So they did. They very smartly made it a part of the story of this movie where you open up and you show that, but they did it again. And it's like, there was one shot in the movie where I was like, because people always say this, they say, why didn't Superman just throw him into space? And he did that in this movie.
Yeah.
He literally picks Doomsday up, he throws, or well, what was the missile? Oh, they go up into space, and then the missile comes up.
Fire the missile.
And that was pretty cool. And that was sort of like, okay, like, At least they did that. But then it just, like, it goes right back down to the city, and they just, like you said, they just set it up so we can blow up more buildings. That's what it felt like to me. It was just like, we can just have more destruction here because it looks cool. Like, let's just throw out.
I might sound stupid, but why did Doomsday sink right back down to Earth and Superman stay floating up there?
Remember the rocket hit him, and okay. Superman took all of the blast. And remember how he kind of looked like a corpse for a second?
Yeah, I thought right there. I honestly thought that Superman was going to die right there.
He looked all, but you know how the sun, he absorbs the power from the sun, so he healed back pretty quickly.
It was like pieces of his skin were like falling off.
Yeah he looked.
Like, oh crap! Did Superman just die right
he
there?
He looked like a Which dude.
I was okay with because then I thought, Batman gonna kill Doomsday right here.
See, here's what would have been cooler to me. Again, this is if I was writing the movie. So they go back down, right? First off, I would have probably written way in advance in the movie that Batman wouldn't have thrown the spear. You know, your mom's name Martha? And then he throws the spear because that is such an un-Batman thing to do. Because Batman in the comics has always said to Superman, hey, if you ever turn evil, or if anything ever happens, I just want you to know, I've got kryptonite. He's always kept that. He would never throw that away.
Well, whatever. I think they did that because he was emotional at the time, thinking of Martha.
But it's still set up for later in the movie for one of the dumbest moments where it's like, I gotta go get the spear. I gotta lead the monster back to the city.
But it still doesn't seem like Batman, he's always so technical and so...
that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, but he's very emotional when it comes to his parents.
Batman is always two steps ahead of the game. And in this movie, he's kind
of
stupid.
Two steps ahead of the game. This is two steps he couldn't be a part of, thinking ahead, because he didn't see this happening with Martha. He didn't see that happen.
Even emotional, I feel like he...
I hate that that happened in this movie, but I can see why he was very emotional and threw the spear.
He went through so much to get that kryptonite. He went through so much. I still think he would have picked it back up on his way out.
Have you ever made really like strategic plans of something and then something just completely annihilate that plan? Your mind isn't there anymore.
I'm not Batman.
That's what I was exactly about to say. I'm not Bruce Wayne. I do not have that mindset.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's the world's greatest detective and he was not in this movie.
No. I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying.
He's human.
You're trying to defend this. I know.
He's human.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care who he is. He's human.
Yeah.
He's Batman.
He's
also a human being.
I don't know. And then like, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh yeah. This is what I would have done if I had rewrote it. So let's just say Zack Snyder was like, no, I want him to throw the spear. I'd be like, okay, fine. We'll keep it where he throws the spear. But when he goes back to Gotham to get the spear, why I would have had Batman take the spear and kill Doomsday with it.
Everybody would have. Or Wonder Woman.
And I'll tell you why it would have made more sense to the story. It's not that I just would have done it for sake of just Batman. First off, you would have got rid of that stupid ending where Superman got killed. But two, it would have earned Superman's respect. Because I would have come at it from the angle of the reason why Superman doesn't like Batman, which you and I said they never establish, I would have set up that maybe Clark Kent learns that Robin died. And he learns that he's like, oh my gosh, this guy got this poor kid killed. This guy's a monster. He needs to be stopped. And he kind of, that's why he's going after Batman, is because I'm a superhero. This guy's a human being. He's a wannabe superhero. He's flying around in a costume pretending to be me. He's already got this kid killed. He's going to get others hurt. He's going to get himself hurt. I'm going to go after him to stop him. But then if you had Batman be the one that kills Doomsday, then you could have that bro moment where Superman's like, I don't like you, but I like your moves. You know what I mean? Like,
all I'm saying is Martha.
You gained my respect just then. You took out that bad guy. We cool now.
I think they easily could have.
But they're already best friends.
I think
I don't know where you're getting at. They're already BFFs because their mom's name's Martha.
I think they easily could have killed Superman in a later movie. Oh, kill, because you already see he's coming back at the end. But like the end of the first Justice League movie or something. Then the second one.
How do they bring Superman back?
in the comic books,
they did like four different ones. Like,
I don't know how they're going to do it in this movie. Because he, first off, in this movie, he got stabbed through the... It, I don't think he's got heart left.
I don't know.
That claw was huge. And it went like all the way through his... Yeah, like, he dead. You know what I mean? Clearly, he not dead because the dirt lifts up. But like in the comic book, he didn't get stabbed or nothing. He just got beat up. Like, he just got beat to death by...
they beat each other to death.
Yeah, they just beat each other to death. And then, like, his father... Soul was talking to God, and there's this like dream sequence kind of conversation where his father's talking to God and talking about how he can bring him back to life. There's like a lot of different things that happen, but they also put Superman didn't technically die. He went into like a Kryptonian coma, and then they put him in a suit, and the suit brings him back to life. I can just see your eyes just being like, what is he talking about?
But anyway, I remember the four different...
You went from a from talking to God to a suit.
There's a lot that happens in the comic.
So I'm sitting here trying to think, what could they put...
I don't know.
Don't see either one of those things happening in this.
Right off the bat, they had like the four spinoffs. It was like the Man of Steel, and then like the Super Kid, and two more that I can never remember.
Are you talking about the clones?
Yeah, I guess the clones, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had no idea where they were going with that.
They had, like, Steel. That was when Steel was introduced. Yeah, not Steel. Shaq. Not the Shaq Steel, but...
But,
yeah, it kind of was Shaq Steel. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to bring this one back to life. My guess is you're probably going to have another stupid Kevin Costner cameo at the beginning of Justice League. That moment was so dumb. It's like, why is this in the movie?
I actually forgot all about that.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to have another Kevin Costner moment where he's talking to Morgan Freeman as God. And he's going to be like...
I would not be mad. Kevin Costner's talking to God.
He's like, talking to God, and he's going to be like, you need to bring my son back to life.
He can help.
And he's like... He's all like, yeah, whatever. And then, you know, Superman comes back.
Oh, that's your Morgan Freeman.
Here, and I'll tell you another reason why, and I'll give you another reason why I think this is stupid. So, I kind of get where they're going with it, why they kill Superman. I just don't agree with it. Because their whole reasoning behind killing him, and I know this because, I mean, it's pretty obvious in the movie why, but Zack Snyder confirmed it in an interview, that in his mind, the only reason why it's logical for Batman, because, you know, they say that at the end of the movie, at the funeral, where him and Wonder Woman are talking, mm-hmm. and she's like, what do we need to do? And Bruce Wayne's like, I failed him. I failed him in life. And it's like, yeah, you did.
But
you
I'm
not going to fail him in death. It's like, again, you've just met this guy, but whatever. So, and then he goes... We need to go find them. We need to go find the rest of them. You know, find the other. I had this vision, and you know, whatever. He doesn't say that.
I have a feeling.
I have a feeling. Yeah.
We need to get the other ones like you. She asked why. Right. He goes, I just have a feeling.
I have a feeling. Yeah. Okay. Which, so whatever.
Which to me would have fit a little better if they would have done that prison sequence before that. They did that prison sequence after that.
I thought that was like. He says that, and you're seeing why he said that. Because like, he'd already done that, and he'd already heard Lex say the bells.
You don't know. That's because this movie was shitty. You don't know that.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that's what I took that as.
Well,
no, I didn't take it as that.
I don't know. But anyway, so I think where they're going with this is, well, Zach confirmed it, that... Basically, the only reason why the Justice League is formed is because Superman is dead. Because now that Superman's dead, well, then the Justice League must be to fill that hole, even though he was a murderous idiot.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what happens when Superman comes back? Because he's going to come back, so does that mean, is he going to come back and they're just going to be like, oh, no more Justice League, Superman's back. Superman's always been part of the Justice League. They've always needed each other.
I see this happening. I see we get into the Justice League and, you know, you've got Batman, Wonder Woman, you got the team together, and then you also have Superman that's not a part of the Justice League at the moment. He's living in Kansas.
he's living in Kansas with his mom and just trying to be Clark Kent. Until something really, really shitty happens and he's got to go. He's got to go save the world. And then everybody's like, Batman or Superman's back. And do you see that happening?
I don't know. I don't freaking know. You're saying he's going to come back to life, but he won't immediately go back to being Superman. Yes. He's going to lay low for a bit. Yep,
he's going to be there with Martha.
I mean, probably because he's such a horrible Superman.
And Lois.
I mean, he probably will. Why on earth would he go back to being a superhero?
Something I wanted to ask him, Angry Luke, that I forgot all about. I meant to mention earlier. I read somewhere that Superman can tell where Batman is by his heartbeat.
Yeah.
Why can't you tell where his mom was at?
There's so many things in this that's just broken.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to the club. That's what I'm getting at. It makes no sense. And if you think about
I agreed with you before. I'm just...
Well, no, and if you think about it, I'll make my point even further, which makes the movie even more stupid, why he couldn't hear his mom. His mom was the one who taught him that power in Man of Steel. In the Man of Steel movie, this is a sequel to that movie. Remember that scene where he goes, the world's too big, Mom. And she goes, well, make it small. Pretend I'm an island. Focus on my voice. Do you remember that scene in the movie? She's the one that taught him how to do it, and he couldn't hear her. But he could hear Lois halfway across the planet when he's talking to Dead Dad in Alaska. So stupid. I don't understand that at all.
Okay, I get that he was not focused, but how could he really not hear that bomb in the guy's wheelchair?
Okay, I'll give the movie that, and I'll tell you why. It's stupid, but they at least tried to explain
it. Yeah.
Because I agree it's dumb. I'm with you. It's so stupid.
But he says he didn't see it.
But he says, I didn't because I wasn't looking.
Yeah.
So I'll give him that. Very dumb.
I'll give him that too.
Very dumb.
And I also like that scene where after the explosion, you see him in the fire. And like he knows what's about to happen to him. You know, everybody's going to be hating him. They'll think that he could have stopped this. And he's just sitting there in that fire all around him. Just like.
Well,
actually seen tear up.
I think you can interpret that scene two different ways. The way you're describing it. And then also this way of, you know, here I am. Because think about it. He's Superman. He ain't got an answer to nobody. And here I am kind of playing their political game. Here I am listening to them, talking to them, and what happens? This dude just kills everybody, and of course I'm fine. And it's sad, right? Because Superman loves humans, or at least the Superman I know does. I don't know what this Superman does. I mean...
Questionable.
It's questionable. And you know, that was like a whole thing that I thought was going to happen. Like when he killed Zod at Man of Steel, at the end of Man of Steel... And if you remember, do you remember his reaction to that? He like snaps his neck and he screams, no. He's like, no. Like he's so upset because he just took life.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be a thing that we would see in this movie. The repercussions of you would see a Superman that learned from that experience. I know what that's like to kill somebody. I never want to feel that way again. That's why I don't like this Batman guy or something like that. But, like, do you remember that scene at the beginning of the movie where the dude, like, Lois is in the desert and the dude's got a gun to Lois's head and then Superman flies and sends that guy through a brick wall? I realize they don't show it, but I don't care what anybody says. That dude is dead.
He's a desert.
That dude's dead. Like, Superman killed that guy. And for a moment there, when Superman goes back to the apartment and she's in the bathtub and they're talking... You think that that's what they're talking about. Like, you think that she's talking about, you killed that guy, and that wasn't good, and I'm mad at you. But as the scene plays out, that's not what they're talking about.
They're talking about all the other people that was dead. That died.
Right. Like, they're not even talking about that.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah,
so it's like, what? I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know. It's like...
I never took it as that either.
Again, I like this movie, but... Again, the issue I have with this movie is it's so uncharacteristic. These characters, like, they don't behave the way they're supposed to at all. I mean...
I hated to see Lex's assistant go. in the explosion.
Which one was she? The little the Asian lady? Yeah. The scooper. And she like didn't even have much of a...
Yeah, it's just kind of like...
She's just sort of there.
There.
She kept like looking over. She looked over at Lex's chair like, the hell's Lex?
And again, I'll go back to Lex's plot. It's like, I'm going to have Batman Superman fight. But if that doesn't work out, I'm going to create Doomsday.
Out of the spaceship pee. Whatever.
Didn't that just feel like super convenient? It's like he goes into the ship and the ship is like, you know, what do you want me to do? It's like this, you know, alien Siri. And he's like, teach me everything. And she's like, yeah. Like, it just felt like so convenient that this ship just had these powers. And then he like cuts his hand and he takes the Zod body. And
did you see the deleted scene that's already been leaked?
Yes.
With the, I think it was like the Vex from...
I know. And like so many like fans are... See, this is what makes me mad. Like, I consider myself a fan of this stuff. And yet, like, this is the big argument that I see online is like, the fans are like, you know, oh, well, you know, I love this because I know what this is referring to or whatever. And I'm just like, look, I'm a fan of this and I think this sucks. Like, this is just a bad interpretation of this stuff. And people are like, well, you just wouldn't appreciate it unless you're a fan. It's like, this is why I like Marvel. Marvel speaks to people that don't read these comic books.
Yeah.
Like, they do it for both. Like, if you read these comic books, like, yeah, you'll like it. If you don't, you'll still like it. Like, I just feel like for DC people, who this is speaking to is the Rudy Mundy crowd that reads comic books. It's a very niche market. It's a very small corner of the internet.
Yeah, it's
just people that's like, hey, I think it's awesome. And, you know, and like what I've noticed is like, we can articulate all these reasons why we don't like the movie.
Rudy Mundy never listens to this.
Oh, he won't. But I know we can articulate. Yeah, I know we can articulate all these reasons why we don't like it, but I've yet to hear anyone articulate reasons why they like it. Because, like, if you look at people, like, if you meet someone, it's like, why do you like this movie? They're like, it's cool. It's like, what's cool about it? Oh, it's like, it's just, the action's good. Ben Affleck, it's good. It's like, well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I actually agree with you. I think those parts are cool. Can you explain to me Lex's plot in the movie? They're just like, oh, I like Lex. He's good. It's like, what's good about him? You know what I mean? It's like, it's just people that want to like it. They want it to be good. But is it good? I don't know if it really is good. I don't know.
If you gave it a 5, a weak 5.
A weak 5.
But you also said that if we would have potted right after the movie...
I would have destroyed it.
You would have destroyed... What would you have given it right after the movie?
I would have given it like a 2. I mean, and to be honest with you, I think I would have said the same things I'm saying now. The only difference is that I'm a little more optimistic moving forward. Whereas the day I saw the movie, I was not. Not at all. I was very...
I'm not very optimistic moving forward. I like the stuff that they've set up in this movie.
Yeah.
Opens the doors for going forward. But I'm hoping that they aren't as shitty as this movie. Think of it that way, Luke. What if they just opened 5 doors up to 5 shitty movies?
Well, here's what I'm hoping with that. Because you could be right. That could very well happen. And I think we'll have a really good idea after Suicide Squad if that's the case. I'll say this. If Suicide Squad is not good, I might be done with this franchise.
I'm not even going to go with that because I think Suicide Squad will be good.
I hope it will be.
But I think it's completely separate than this whole other universe they got with Batman Superman.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, at the very least, here's what I have to think. I think that either way will win because either one or the other will happen. Either this franchise gets better and we win, or B, they stay terrible
and they tank, and Disney buys them, and then and then we'll have the best Batman Superman movie ever made in like 15 years.
Featuring Iron Man.
Featuring Iron Man, yes.
Iron Man, Tony Stark comes over, talks to
I mean, just think how much better these movies would be if you had Batman, you know, being like, tell me, do you bleed? You will. And then all of a sudden the web hits Batman. In comes Spider-Man going, hi, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Like, that's literally how every trailer should end. Like, I would be okay with that.
Under Ruse!
Under Ruse! Oh, I can't wait to see that movie. We will have to see that one together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully I don't have anything stupid going on.
I wonder what the after movie credit is going to be. After movie credit scene.
Gotta be setting up 4:30, I would imagine. Gotta be. Or Guardians 2. Or Doctor Strange.
Gosh, I hope it's Doctor Strange.
There's a lot of new images really staying on Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Luke was looking at them earlier.
Yeah, they look pretty cool.
I want to see them.
But, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've talked myself to death on this movie. I feel like, honestly, this conversation, because we have, it's been a week since we've seen the movie, I have probably talked about this movie 30 times with 30 different people. And I'm to the point now where it's like, I've saved all, everything I wanted to say up for this episode, and I'm done. Like, I'm done talking about it. I just want to never see this movie again, and I'm just looking forward to Ben Affleck's solo Batman. I hope that happens, because hopefully that's the only good thing that will come out of this.
I like Wonder Woman.
I'm excited for Wonder Woman. I hope it's good. I really hope it's good. I'm excited
for Aquaman, because there's been some stuff come out of it the last week, too.
I don't want to come across like... I'm hopeful, and I'm excited for this. I just... Golly, man, you guys have given me two farts in the tub, two bad movies, and I can't help but be a little discouraged.
The second fart in the tub reference we've had tonight.
I noticed.
But, moving forward, I hope it gets
better. I hate to bring this up, because I don't think we talked about it enough.
I thought you were about to say, we've not been recording at all.
The deleted scene.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have to talk about what happens at the deleted scene, but why do you think that they released it when they did? If they thought it was important enough to me, how long was that scene? It wasn't even like a minute long.
Like 30, 40 seconds.
If it was important enough for them to release it a week after the movie came out, it was important enough for it to be in the movie.
I just took that was their way of kind of calming the fans down. The fans that were mad about it. It should have been in the movie.
And I think that by them releasing that, when they did, was them going, yeah, we screwed that up.
I'm happy it wasn't in the movie, because there is already enough scenes that is in this movie where people are scratching their head.
Yeah.
And that just would have been another one. I mean, even though I understood it, it still is like that. I'm glad that was cut, because... There's just too many people going, huh?
Well, for me, that would also have been a good after credit scene.
I agree.
For the fan, because a lot of the after credit scenes are for fanboys of comics.
That's true.
Because there's a lot of things that happen in those where most people go, who the hell is that?
Kind of like you pointed that out. Yeah, the Shorma. But you kind of pointed that out on one podcast. You said the X-Men Apocalypse, and you said there was a guy in the audience.
The four rednecks behind him. What the hell's that?
Yeah. But you knew. You got it. Yeah, you knew what it was.
But usually those...
Like the first time you
see Thanos, a lot of people didn't know what the crap they were seeing.
Yeah, I think it was Iron Man 2. The after credit scene was like Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, what's that?
Oh, you know? I remember seeing that and getting way too happy.
Yeah. So...
That's what it was with Thanos.
Yeah.
I was one of the few in the theater going, what?
Yeah, he goes to court with death.
who that
because he loves death. That's his thing. He's in love with death.
I think those would have been good scenes.
I agree.
Was those cubes that the thing had the same thing that they showed with Cyborg being created? Same cube?
No. Those are the what do they call those things?
The mother cubes. Whatever.
See, I have no. I honestly know so little DC though.
Honestly, like it. This would be the part where I would break that down and explain it to you, but with the way they're handling it in these movies, I'm like, it doesn't matter.
I'll look it up.
It really doesn't matter. I don't even think you need to look it up.
I want to know what to call
them. They're so lazily handled in these movies that I just don't think it matters. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope they learn from their mistakes. I hope they get better. I'm still going to be optimistic. I was optimistic about this movie, though, is the sad thing about it, and it let me down.
Going into the movie, I was not. I was telling McMurray and Zach and everybody on the way to it, I'm expecting there to be, like, we'll see a cameraman in one shot. You're going to see the boom come down and, like, hit Superman or somebody in the head.
Did I say anything to you all before? Because I know I saw it before you guys. I was trying my best not to give, like, my... Did I say something that kind of gave away how I felt about it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What did I say?
To me, you text me and goes, you go, I saw it.
Yeah. No, it was, well, I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it.
I saw it. And I was like, yep. Yeah. I was at the casino and I looked at my phone and I was like,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah. You know, I had been watching the reviews for that movie. And they come out at like 35%.
Yeah.
On like Thursday night or whatever.
Yeah.
And by the time we got to go see it Saturday, it was down to 31%.
Yeah, I think now it's like 28. It's
29%
it's down to. It goes down every day.
And the audience score is also going down. It was at like 79. It's down to like 72 now.
Also, too, McMurray, me and DJ looked this up, or we were talking about this before you came, that... So last weekend, and obviously the movie came out last weekend, everybody knew this movie was going to open up big, yeah. You know. I think they said it made like $85 million on Friday, last Friday. You know how much money it made yesterday, the second Friday? $15 million.
Wow.
So that it broke a record for being a movie that is the biggest drop. Biggest drop in movie history right now. Yeah, drop is 81% second weekend. The word has gotten out about
71% this on Friday.
Yeah. The word has gotten out.
That's not good.
No.
Well.
But hopefully, that wakes WB up.
To me, that also says that everybody that wanted to see this movie has seen it opening weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And then all the people that were like, yeah, I want to see it. But then the people that did want to see it were like,
the word got out. Yeah.
Wait till Redbox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I told, I was at drill early today and I told several people that. I said, wait till, because there was a couple of people that was like, I want to take my kid. And I was like,
no,
you don't. You want to, and a lot of people, you can scare them away just by saying 3 hours. I said, it's a 3 hour movie. And they're like, oh, I don't want to take my kid to a 3 hour movie. So
it's a 3 hour dark movie that your kid may cry in.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't feel as long to me, but I spent like
half the time in the freaking bathroom.
Yeah, I had to eat so much.
Oh, really?
Like yeah. I'm about to do.
Were there any moments that you missed?
I wouldn't say I missed them.
Listen. Hold on, awesome. Before I go pee, I gotta tell you this. So he gets up and goes to the bathroom. When the diver goes down and finds a kryptonite, you know that scene, people are looking at it, he breaks it open.
Yeah.
He misses all of that.
Yeah.
He comes back and looks at Zach and goes, did I miss anything? Zach goes, nah. So at that point, McMurray had no idea kryptonite had been found.
That was even in the movie.
Well, I did because they talked about it. Like, they talked about it, and I kind of put two and two together. Was shocked.
You might be, though. You can go ahead and pee. But like you
I'm
might,
good now, but it went away for some
reason. Oh, okay. You might be the perfect person that this movie's kind of for because you just like have no...
I don't care.
Yeah. You have no emotional attachment to it. Where I'm going into it like, I love these characters. And I'm like, please be good. Please be good. Please be good. And then I'm like, Oh, it's so good. Yes, they're getting it. They're getting it. No, no. He's flying. What? No. No, no.
I remember the flying scene. I was like...
I was like, oh, no, it's happening. My nightmare
is happening. I've never been so relieved, I don't think, in my life. And when I heard Ben Affleck go... The dream.
Yeah, I wake up and dream. Right, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, thank God. This was a dream.
I wish that there would have been more of those moments. More of those moments where something stupid happens and then you go, oh, thank goodness they saved it. You know, but unfortunately...
How awesome would this have been? So Superman goes, Martha, they got Martha.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, What? You know? Like he did. And he's like backing up. And Lois comes in and she's like, his mother's name's Martha. And we're like, where's she at? I'll go save her. And then he tells him, he goes, all right, thanks. And then stabs him. And he flies off and saves Martha. That would have been amazing to me.
To me, it just would have made sense. There's an awesome... This is another really great moment that I like from the movie. I love the part where Batman is in the broken Wayne Mansion, which they never explain. You know how the mansion was like burnt?
To me, I kind of felt like it went back to...
Ra's al Ghul. Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is different.
I know it is.
Thing.
See, that was something to me, though, that I felt like they brought... different things from other Batmans, even though they say that it's like it's separate. I felt like they brought other things in.
Yeah, maybe they'll explain that down the road. But
it's not like the Tim Burton Batman killed people,
right? But I allow that because Tim Burton's a madman.
Yeah. True,
and it's kind of that whole movie's kind of a Tim Burton fever dream, you know. So I'll allow that because it's sort of an Elseworld story. It's sort of its own thing. But anyway, I love that moment where he's in the house. When Alfred's talking to him and he starts giving that history of the Waynes. And I love that line at the end where he goes, the Waynes were hunters.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was a really cool, like, another.
The first Waynes made their money by trading pelts.
Yes.
They were hunters.
They were hunters.
And I was like,
Yeah, that was.
And that's when you know, like, oh, it's on.
Oh, it's on. Yeah.
He's hunting Superman.
That was such a Batman thing to say. That was such a cool moment. Such a cool line. I love that. But I still don't really agree with the whole, like, Batman wanting to spear him to death. Because, again, Batman wouldn't do that. But the Dark Knight Returns that this comic is based off of, you know how that moment played out? Batman beats the piss out of Superman, just like he does in the movie. And all he does is, he doesn't kill him or anything like that. He just walks over, he stands over him, and he goes, I want you to remember this moment. I want you to take this in and remember that I was the one man who beat you. So in other words, it was Batman of saying, look, if I wanted to kill you, I can. That would have been cooler to me versus, what?
Martha?
What's he saying?
Why do you keep saying that name?
Yeah, that would have been cooler than what we got. To be honest with you, probably five other things would have been cooler than what we got, but it's what we got.
I can't remember a scene with Lois Lane in it that I was like...
Lois was terrible.
Glad that scene was in it.
Tub scene.
They could have had her in the tub scene and never showed her again in the movie, and I would have been okay with it.
Yep.
Oh, like, I didn't care what they were talking about.
Well, you're a pig.
Just kidding. She was awful. Fire movie.
She was pretty bad.
Even the tub.
And I love Amy Adams.
She was terrible in the tub scene. She could have raised another 2 inches. Everything would have been so good.
Yeah, I like Amy Adams.
I do too. Just
not good in this movie. No. This movie felt like she was doing it for a paycheck.
Ooh, that's a terrible
thing
to an actress.
It's true, though.
Actor or actress.
Well, like I said, I've said all I'm going to say.
I'm covered everything I want to talk about.
McMurray, final thoughts?
No, about this one.
Well,
it's over.
In the work.
I had to bring up the bourbon for this one. Yeah. I knew this was
going to be. He knew it was going to be a long one.
It was going to be a long, sad venture.
Well, I guess you've been noted, son.